Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, brought to you by Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, Right Fit Sports Wellness, Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Quick shout out, Bruce Merrin Celebrity Speakers Bureau. Bruce just celebrated his 46th year. His first sports clients were Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson. He's got quite a group. You could check him out. We've got a great doubleheader today. Ellen Albertson, PhD. She's a health and wellness coach, psychologist, nutritionist, and she's a body image expert. She's joining me along with returning Joel Franco, founder of Chesapeake Films. He's the creator and producer of the upcoming documentary, Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. Then the sports doctor's in, some Bob Guide of Wisdom emails. Ellen Albertson, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much. It is so awesome to be here, and I'm so excited about our conversation today. It's really necessary that we shed some light on all of these body image issues that people are having.
Yes, give us some background on yourself and that whole world.
Sure. Well, I started my career in health and wellness as a registered dietitian about 30 years ago, and I quickly realized that I didn't have the behavioral skill set to get people to make change. I knew what to tell them, how to eat this, don't eat this, but to actually get them to change their habits was kind of been my lifelong journey. That as well as really working a lot with women at midlife, certainly worked with people at all stages and ages in terms of body image. I suffered from negative body image myself. I actually had anorexia before people even knew what anorexia was, and really struggled with negative body image, and was fortunate enough to use self-compassion was my topic of my dissertation. And as a result of that, I started practicing self-compassion. My research showed that self-compassion can really transform negative body image, and I've been kind of sharing my passion for self-compassion and health and wellness ever since.
You know, it's interesting. It's been a topic on the Sports Doctor for decades, give or take a few weeks. I call it the mental game, whether someone's trying to stick to the program, whether they're exercising, whether they're trying to lose the weight, whether they're the best athlete in the country and they're trying to be stay at optimum performance, or whether they're their parents or their coach. So the whole idea of body image, fits into all of these different areas, let alone, it's got to be 10, 15 years ago, I had people on talking again about eating disorders. They were working with young gymnasts and dancers and ballet individuals, figure skaters, and they were dealing with these kids and all of these nutritional challenges, maybe with their parents and their coach saying, what do you mean you didn't lose the weight, And a lot of very, very serious stuff. So this is a very, very big deal. This is why we're excited on having you on. So describe and give a definition for the self-compassion component that you stress so much.
Yeah, self-compassion is essentially treating yourself the way you would a good friend. So there are three elements to self-compassion. The first is being kind to yourself rather than critical. So often, particularly when we're talking about these young athletes that, they're told that they need to be a certain size, there's a lot of self-criticism. There's a lot of criticism coming from coaches, perhaps even parents. And so with self-compassion, we're not being judgmental. Instead, we're being kind to ourselves. We're essentially treating ourselves the way we treat our friends. The second element is common humanity. So, so often when things go wrong, maybe when we're doing sports and we lose a competition or we have some problems in the world or we get sick, we think that something has gone wrong. And with self-compassion, with this common humanity piece, we realize that when things go wrong, when we make mistakes and we fall off that balance beam, it's just the human condition. Mistakes are part of life, and that's really how we learn and we grow. And when we realize that this is normal, we don't feel so alone. Then the third element is mindfulness. So we become aware, mindful, when we are stressed, when we are struggling, when we're feeling bad about ourselves, or we are going through challenges.
That other word, the other word, mindfulness, that medicine didn't know how to spell 20 years ago. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can listen to things years ago, all sorts of topics, so many different specialists in the worlds of sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you could read a lot of great information on everything from concussions to the challenges of youth sports, all the exciting things we're doing with MVP Parent Magazine, and continuing one of my hottest articles, which is Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. And we have thousands and thousands of followers on Twitter and LinkedIn. I can't tell you how many guests we get from those venues. A lot of great information we share at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking with health and wellness coach, Dr. Ellen Albertson, about the whole, again, this mental game that, you know, everybody is dealing with times 100 because of the challenges of the pandemic. True?
Yes, I think that because we're spending so much time in front of screens, we're doing the social comparison, especially kids. And certainly it's been exposed that, you know, Facebook was actually reinforcing some of this dysfunctional behavior that was creating,
huge,
you know, eating disorders as well as negative body
point.
Image. Kids are seeing, they're comparing themselves instead of, you know, having a normal situation where they're in school and they're having normal social situations. There was so much screen time where people were really focusing, comparing themselves to others. We weren't having, you know, a normalized environment. So I think the pandemic has made it worse. And on the flip side, you know, the amount of weight gain, you know, particularly in adults because of the stress, being at home, again, not being able to go to our gyms, our yoga classes, the isolation, really has created more of an obesogenic environment where a lot of people, you know, did gain weight during the pandemic.
Well, you know, Ellen,
we're definitely have to undo this.
Yes. One of my hot topics, again, for decades has been childhood obesity. Paying tremendous attention to all of those challenges, which is also, just hit us dramatically more because of the whole pandemic situation. What's the best site people can go to find out about you and your information?
They can go to themidlifewhisper.com, themidlifewhisper.com. They can go and they can just Google Midlife Whisper. I am at The Midlife Whisper on Instagram, and I'm also Dr. Ellen Albertson on Facebook. But just check out The Midlife Whisper.
Midlife Whisper. What a great title. Yes. We could talk about that for an hour, the title alone. Give us some insight into Midlife Whisperer.
Well, I have worked with thousands of women at midlife, and it's a really interesting time of life, I think, for both men and women. And what's happening is we're living longer. And so, you know, up until, you know, before the 19th century, people only lived to 55. And now because we have much better living conditions, much better medical care, people are living longer. So I'm really trying to rebrand midlife, to shine light and understanding on this idea of midlife crisis, to really help people to transform at midlife so that they can really create an amazing next chapter.
I mean, come on, 70s the new 50, right? In the 80s,
absolutely.
The new 50. Absolutely. So we really need all the help we can get, again, when it comes to the idea of being able to stay active. You know, I tell people on The Sports Doctor all the time, really, ironically, the new medicine is, on the one hand, eat smarter. You don't have to be a fanatic. Just eat smarter. And on the other hand is keep moving, whether you go to the gym, whether you're a walker, whatever it happens to be. And like you're saying, pay big attention to the mental component, right?
Yeah, it's really true. I was working with a client yesterday, and, you know, she just didn't believe that she could transform her body. And the mental component is so important. Body image is in your mind. It's actually not in your body. If you start to move your body, change your diet because you love yourself, you're going to have much better results than if you do it because you don't like your body and you're beating yourself up. That just generates more cortisol, and it's going to end up backfiring. You don't need a self-critic to improve your health and well-being.
You know, you can't watch television for more than 5 minutes without seeing diet ads and losing weight ads. It's the only thing worse than that, really, according to the sports doctor, is the drug ads that we see constantly. So we're bombarded with the, it's interesting, one of my favorite guests, Katie Davis, one of the nutrition experts we've had on, she has a great term. She says, when she's talking sports nutrition, for people to think about fueling their bodies instead of being on a diet. You know, even the nomenclature, it's such a gigantic challenge. Diabetes and obesity is truly having a tremendous negative effect. And the more information we get out, the better. But man, at best, we're still treading water, right?
Well, it's getting worse. The rate of diabetes and pre-diabetes is about 50%, and the amount of our calories coming from big food, processed food, is 57%. But I love what you said about dieting. Dieting is actually the absolute worst thing to do if you want to lose weight. The research shows that dieting predicts weight gain, not loss, because when you diet, what happens is your body again goes into this fight and flight. You generate cortisol because your body is under stress because you're not getting enough calories. And so your appetite goes up. You can't stop thinking about food. You feel like a failure when you go and you have a binge because you're hungry. The best thing to do is just to gradually change your lifestyle. Just really adopt more of a whole foods, plant-based diet. Move your body every day, as you were saying. Handle your stress. Get support. And the weight will come up gradually. I have people focus on your lifestyle change, not the number on the scale. The number on the scale will shift, but it takes time and consistent effort, and it really starts with loving yourself.
What is your opinion as a dietitian and your world about some of these programs that have become very, very popular and seem to be science-based in a lot of ways, whether it's Nutrisystems, whether it's weight? My mother was on Weight Watchers. I grew up. I always heard the term Weight Watchers. And, you know, be paying attention. It's amazing how far back some of these things go. What's your opinion on, some of these different programs? Do you find them helpful?
Well, I think they do help some people, particularly in the short term. But I think that, you know, dieting is a multi-billion dollar business. So what I see happening is people go on them, they get some success, but they don't make the changes in the habits that you need to do for long term. What I prefer working with people on is really working on intuitive eating or mindful eating and really working on habit change, because these are all, you know, temporary solutions for a long term problem. So sure, they work for people part time, you know, when they're on them, but then people go off them and they go on this, you know, yo-yo diet.
You know, today,
where they are.
Regardless of these various areas, you know, again, the term the body image and the huge part this plays, again, whether it's a young adolescent girl who's a ballet dancer and she's an athlete, or it's someone in this midlife, they're trying to whisper in their midlife, or people who are trying to stay healthy, stay active. It's right in the middle of it, this body image, which is, I think that awareness alone helps.
Yeah, the awareness, and it's important to note too that the negative body image doesn't go away when you get to be middle age. And in fact, it can get worse because, you know, there is that shift in body composition for women. People tend to get less active, you know, our skin wrinkles, our hair turns gray. So they're, you know, and we're shown this youthful ideal. So the body image can get worse. But what my research showed, which is so exciting, is that self-compassion reduces body shame, body dissatisfaction, self-worth based on appearance, and improves body appreciation. So simply being kinder to yourself, maybe doing some formal meditation practices, is a variety of different kinds of meditations you can do. That alone will shift the concept that you have about your body. And from that, you'll actually take better care of your body and feel better about yourself.
You know, it's interesting. There's been, again, in the last few minutes, you know, we've paid so much more attention over the past decade or so with mind-body stuff, whether it was yoga, again, whether it was meditation, whether it was all sorts of holistic, paying attention to a lot of these things. I think we've come a long way in being able to acupuncture, to be able to include these things, but the challenge is still immense, isn't it? Because the statistics and the results of what we're looking at, and they ain't great.
Yeah, the challenge is immense, and I think the issue with a lot of people is everybody wants quick solutions, you know, and that's where of all of these pharmacological solutions come in. But really, the lifestyle change is so powerful in terms of reversing disease.
And you find that coaching, the health and wellness coaching world, which has also become a big deal, I find very, very helpful for so many people.
Yeah, it's amazing. Right now, there's a board certification, which I have in health and wellness coaching, and they actually are starting to have codes for insurance because people really need to understand the obstacles, the subconscious blocks, like as you were referring to, the mindset issues that are keeping them stuck. So things like motivational interviewing, helping people have more positive emotions, helping people, you know, create healthy habits. There's a real need for health and wellness coaching.
Good luck.
So
good luck to you. Good luck
Thank
to you,
you
getting the insurance in. Good luck to you to get the insurance industry involved in, you know, in betterment. And I think there, you know, again, we're seeing some changes. Like, again, the health insurance industry paying attention to people's memberships in health clubs and different corporations and companies, something you never saw years and years ago. So I have confidence that things that you're talking about, maybe they would happen. But I had to throw that good luck to you in the mix there.
Yeah. Well, I think some health insurance companies actually have their own health coaches because, and a lot of companies, like I was doing a lot of work for a company called BetterUp as a nutrition coach for
Ellen,
them.
I knew we'd fly by in time. Give me quickly again the information that people can get about you and your work before we run out of time.
Sure. So the website is The Midlife Whisperer, and also I have a new book out and a whole chapter on healthy living. The book is called Rock Your Midlife, 7 Steps to Transform Yourself and Make Your Next Chapter Your Best Chapter. It's available on Amazon.
Ellen Albert says, PhD. Ellen, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of 2 daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into 4 sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents.
everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of sports doctors' key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual, evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent. With the Sports Doctor is in article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has 2 Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Everybody, we are back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And we are waiting to get Joe Franco on the line. Hopefully, you know, there's nothing like the excitement of live radio. So hopefully we'll get him any minute and talk again about the upcoming documentary, Youth Sports, Challenge of Youth Sports, and the endless amount of areas that a lot of times we talk about. Whether it's overzealous parents, whether it's overzealous coaches, whether it's the epidemic of youth sports injuries that we see physically or mentally from some of the different pressures. So a lot of the guests we have on the Sports Doctor, a lot of the articles that I contribute, for example, to MVP Parents Magazine with our guests from iSport 360. We'll concentrate on these. Okay, Joel, are you here?
I'm here. Sorry about that.
All right, man. I had said, so we're talking about the whole topic. So give us some background on you and the upcoming documentary, The Challenge Youth Sports.
Okie doke.
Give us some background.
Okay. I have been a coach for the last 6 years, and one of the things that I started realizing once I started coaching was the problem that youth sport was facing with overbearing parents, overscheduling kids, too many games on the weekend, that sort of things, right? So as soon as I started to see that, I felt like I had to say something about it. I couldn't just let it be, because it can't just be, the system can't be like that. You know, we have to be better, we have to do better for our kids. So I started working on a documentary on bringing the focus back on the kids from a youth system focused primarily on adults, and realizing that we need to bring it back on the kids. We just have to.
Then you met me. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
What are we doing it for, right?
For decades.
Well, again, we've made tremendous progress, and I have introduced you to so many in those areas of making progress in much more attention to the kids, safety, common sense, smart sports medicine, and we've come a long way, baby. But there's no doubt about it that the challenges really, really still remain. You know, it's funny. Everybody we talk to in the world of sports, youth sports, other sports, talks about mental health, all these mental pressures. Yep. Both previous Olympics, mental health was on top of everything going on, whether it was Simone Biles and the Summer Games in gymnastics, or was this young Russian figure skater in the Winter Games, all this craziness with this pressure and drugs and sports, etc. So there's a tremendous positive side, and that's why I'm still looking forward, again, to when the documentary really, really comes out. Because you've seen a lot of positive energy also, besides exposing a lot of the problems. Right, Joel?
Absolutely. Mental health is going to be on the forefront of the movie in various ways, especially when talking and listening to the interviews we have done with families and with kids, because it's huge. And what I think sometimes we get confused on, we get lost on, is that everybody assumes that when you talk mental health, you're talking about depression and suicide and that sort of thing. But it's so much more than that. I mean, it could just be, you know, the kids, the stress on the kids. It could be the how hard, you know, some teammates are treating their kids. You know, I guess we could use the it word of the day, bullying. You know, one of the kids that we're interviewing is going to actually talk a lot about that because he's a goalie. And he, every time he lets a goal in, some of his teammates are berating him and yelling at him and screaming at him.
I find that surprising. In this day and age, I find that really, it just is amazing that it still goes on. You know, again, sportsmanship, good teammates, all of these things are so important, you know, but one of the reasons I co-authored the book, hashtag, Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic, all in capital letters, of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically, whether it's feet and ankles, whether it's knees, whether it's the young pitcher's shoulders, too many schedules, too many games, too much pressure to win. All of these things were a big part of why we really wanted to pay attention. And, of course, right smack in the middle of all of this was, again, bringing attention back on the kids who are supposed to be having a good time. But the more seriously, you know, when you watch the Olympics, Joel, and you're watching 16, 17, 18-year-olds, you're watching kids who have been doing this since they're 5 years old. It's not for everybody. There's no doubt about it. But it is.
It's really insane the amount of work these kids are put, the amount of things these kids are put through.
Yeah. But you take a look at organizations like the National Alliance of Youth Sports, who celebrated their 40th anniversary. My friends there is John Engie and Chuck Dodd, and the fact that they talk, you know, they work with coaching youth coaches in the park districts and in the areas besides just the school sports, and with lending so much more attention, again, to the importance of what you noticed as a parent yourself, and as a coach. How old are your kids?
12 and 11.
Right, you're in the middle of it, man. And you know,
I'm back in the middle of it, yes.
Exactly. And the more,
it's unbelievable, the scheduling. And you know, the funny thing is, it's like the more as a parent you try to weed it out, and say, okay, you know what? We're not going to play four games this weekend. We're going to play only two or three. And then they just add more. And then the kids are like, well, daddy, if I miss this game, then coaches are going to starve me, or coaches are going to play me, or my friends are going to hate me because I didn't come to the game.
Yes. This is a constant battle
with parents and kids, you know?
Yes, this is something that still is very, very important. The late Jim Vickery, the great sports psychologist, he shared my radio show in the 90s, and he participated. We went back decades. And Jim had some real pearls for sports parents and coaches. Number one was don't be a critic. He made a big deal out of this for sports parents. Do not be a critic of your son or daughter. And he also said, be a good listener. Are you hurting? Are you having problems? Because the kid who's hurting will start taking over the counter pain medicine to try to continue to participate. So the common sense, you know, Ian Goldberg pays such attention to communication. iSport 360, who also you've spoken to numerous times, where they talk about the communication between a coach and a parent is very, very important. We have to stress it's important to have good communication so there's not resentfulness and all of these other kinds of aggravation that go on. And this is why, again, parents need to be good listeners. Young kids will hide sometimes concussion or head trauma or other injuries because they don't want to be put back on the bench. This is a problem at all levels. So we want to bring a lot of awareness, a lot of this stuff. How many times have you been on the Sports Dr. Joel bringing us up to date on what's going on with the documentary? What do you think it's been like? Got to be a half a dozen.
Yeah, probably.
People have to go back. They have to go to sportsdoctorradio.com. They go back to radio shows. They'll see various times over these past probably 2-3 years that we knew this project was happening, and we really wanted. You know, it's a funny story, everybody, with Joel. When he first talked about the documentary, one of the parts of his title was the $15-16 billion a year business that youth sports was. Right? A year later, we were talking about it. He said, Doc, it's the $17 billion a year. And now, what are we saying? It's a $20 billion a year business. That's one of the funny parts of the story. Right? Was that the first number, 15 billion, or am I off by a billion?
No, the first number was 15, I think, that we started talking. Now we're at 20 or something else. It's like, yeah, it keeps going up and up and up.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. And again, the financial side we pay big attention to on the Sports Doctor. If your son or daughter's on a hockey team, traveling team, these other kinds of teams. And again, the better these young boys and girls are at 12, 13, 14 or younger, the more they might be, you know, gee, he's in volleyball 5 days a week, or gee, she's, I have 10-year-olds, Joel, figure skaters who do double jumps and skate 6 days a week. So the challenge of trying to stay safe and trying to keep these things in perspective is one of the biggest challenges we have. And that's why we're so looking forward to the film, again, Where Our Children Play, Challenger Youth Sports, creator Joel Franco. And we're going to be right back. Joel, when we come back, I want you to give us some information on where people could find out more about the documentary. Everybody, it's the Sports Doc.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, we're back live, a sunny day in Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are talking about my fave project, man. We're talking about the upcoming documentary, Where Our Children Play, the Challenger Youth Sports, with its creator, filmmaker, Joel Franco. So, Joel, when do you expect ballpark that you're going to be able to have this ready for people to see it?
If all goes according to plan, hopefully by the fall.
Oh, wow. That's really, really exciting. How long have you been working on this?
Oh, my goodness. 2.5, 3 years by now.
Right. I really, we got to go back and see. I think we did a radio show right out of the box with this.
We did. I think 3 years.
Time
flies when you're having fun.
Yes. Well, again, you're living it, and you know, hopefully, you're following the guidelines, because again, you know, we talked about so many of the different aspects of what is involved in youth sports, whether it's a family trying to keep up with the traveling financial schedule of some of these traveling and club sports, or whether it is the areas again of dealing with injuries and these kinds of challenges. You know, the topic in the upcoming MVP Parents magazine, my Sports Doctors In segment, is going to be on youth sports and drugs. This big challenge of youngsters living on over-the-counter pain medicines because, again, they're hurting and the schedules are too demanding or injuries. So there's lots of challenges that we continue to want to pay big attention to. And education of coaches and parents is a big deal. And again, you with a 12 and an 11-year-old, what sports do your children play?
They're doing soccer at the moment.
Okay. That's another of the prodigy sports. You know, there's a chapter in my book called The Prodigy Sports. I see all these figure skaters for years and years. They don't want to play other sports. And so we would love children to play lots of sports, and that's great, unless you're a gymnast, you know, again, or a figure skater. And soccer is one of those sports where by the time your children's age, that's all they want to do. So it's a specific challenge because it's a lot of physical running. It's a lot of real pressure, and we really want to pay attention to things like the role of the foot, you know, when it comes to youth soccer. So we know the challenges. Do your kids play other sports?
They do on the side, but nothing. They don't do anything traveling or club. They just do it for fun. You know, they do, you know, some tumbling. They do track. They do whatever they can get their hands on. Really, kickball.
Yeah,
even
that's
they
a great
love
mixture.
Playing kickball.
Yes, we
so,
really
no, they
really
do it. Yeah. I let them do as much as they want. Obviously, because they do club and travel with soccer, I try not to add to it unless they want to, because that's already too much. So, but you know, they play at school and they do so many different things at school. So luckily they have good PE teachers and they get to do other stuff.
Yes, and this is something
which
that
is
we really recommend.
The difference is huge. You know, when they don't do extra stuff, You can see how they move. They don't move properly. They don't develop properly. So they really, just one thing is not good for them. They need to be able to do different things to develop all of their body, not just parts of it.
Oh, absolutely. Again, that's another one of the chapters in the book, which is the two essential exercises for kids, regardless of their sports, regardless of their age or their level. One is to strengthen their feet and ankles, and the other is to work on balance, working on stability. And these are the two things many times that really, really need to be added to a youngster's repertoire. And the big, big area still is rest and recovery. I call it intelligent rest. We need to be able to include the importance of rest and recovery. And like you said right out of the box, we can't be playing four games a week and having practice overdoing it and dealing with some of that insanity. It's still very, very common, and we really have to try to limit a lot of this overkill, you know?
Yeah, totally. That's why you have to be very careful. Mom and I try to be careful with them. You know, when we see them tired or they tell us they're tired, we skip a practice or something, because you have to listen to them. It's their bodies. They are doing it, not us. So we have to listen to them, like you said earlier, and we have to follow their lead.
Yes, and we have to, again, you have to be a good listener. We have to pay attention to the fact that their repetitive motion injuries are a real, real problem, where, again, we're doing the same thing all the time. And a lot of times we see that we really, really want to be able to pay attention. We tell parents all the time that if your son or daughter depends on over-the-counter pain medicine to participate, you're over the line. You need to back off. You need to be able to find out what the problem is and pay attention. What's the website, Joe, the information people can go to? I know you have a trailer. And what's the best way for them to find out about the documentary?
Yes, I'm actually in the process of revamping the website, so people will be able to find even more information on it very soon. The address for that is wherewourchildrenplayfilm.com. Most of the time, if actually all the time, they can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know, all the social media, at Doc Youth Sports. And I usually return everybody's message. If they want to contact me, get more information, you know, just tell me their stories. Like, we've been lucky and so lucky to have so far.
How long is the documentary going to be, roughly, on the topics?
About 90 minutes.
About 90 minutes, really. That's going to be exciting.
Well, the good thing about this, very quickly, is that like we talked before, we're going to have the movie. We're actually working on an accompanying book to go with it.
Great.
To expand
Joe,
on
give
some
me the
topics
site
that
again.
We won't be able to talk about.
Joe, give
and
me
then
quickly,
some
bit,
yeah,
give
go
me
ahead.
Quickly, Joe, the, give me quickly the website again they can go to quickly.
Okay, social media at Doc Youth Sport, website wherourchildrenplayfilm.com.
Great. Joe Franco. Hold on, Joe. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of sports doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market.
More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago, the Sports Doctor. And the Sports Doctor is in segment. We've previewed some upcoming shows. We answered some emails. I absolutely include some Bob Guida wisdom. And this week, we want to talk about Bob Guida spent years and years on deep soft tissue therapy for healing and recovery. When he was working on injuries, he would do vibrational therapy, it's called, sometimes very, very deep massage, usually assisted, the famous chiropractic G5 machine. So when Bob was dealing with somebody's body, whether they were the best athlete in the world, or they were somebody's grandmother, or their son, he might be dealing with stimulating the healing parts of the tissue surrounding the injured area. Gosh, that was one of the fantastic things that he brought to the world of sports medicine and recovery, was deep vibrational soft tissue therapy. We got a couple of great shows coming up. Matt Dahl next week, the creator of the Sand Dune Stepper, that incredible piece of equipment that simulates standing, exercising, moving on the sand, working those feet for balance, is joining me. And Missy Orth, my co-member of the National Fitness Hall of Fame, one of my original superstar orthotics athletes decades ago as a young gymnast and athletic star. She's now a top therapist in the world of sports therapy. The following week, Demetra, Synergistic Six. They do all sorts of different information and programs in the health and wellness field. The discussion of some of the different methods of exercise and measurement and medicine, telemedicine. And then we're going to talk fibromyalgia. That challenging condition that's so common to so many people, with Dr. Mike Lenz, internal medicine pediatrician. The next couple of weeks, great, great shows. I have emailed somewhere. There it is. Joy says, hard or soft orthotics? Both for myself, my 13-year-old son plays hockey. You know, Joy, hard and soft, great terms. But there are better terms when we're talking about what an orthotic is supposed to do, and it might be rigid and flexible. So I use a lot of hard material, polypropylene. You click it on the table, it's a hard material, yet it could be extremely flexible for an 80-year-old who's dealing with arthritis. So often, again, the soft orthotic might bottom out, become very aggressive and or hard. So just in general, it's much better to think about the flexible materials that allow good support excellent motion control and can be very, very light and virtually unbreakable. I've been putting those kinds of material orthotics in hockey skates for, I don't know, 3-4 decades with one great skater after another, although I do see a lot more figure skaters over the years. Everybody who listens to the Sports Doctor knows I continually brag about what's 12 years now. Evan Lysacek, the 2010 men's Olympic figure skating gold medalist, was 10 years old. We put orthotics in the skates. I got a whole group of talented 10-year-olds who might be challenging him. Who knows? So we've used orthotics in skates a lot with great success, usually a very thin, fittable plastic device if foot growth is over 13, something we've used almost always because things hurt. Feet hurt, ankles hurt, knees hurt, or problem. The exciting thing, Joy, is orthotics will make a big difference in his balance, stability, speed, propulsion, always a step up if done properly. So pay attention. If he's playing hockey a few days a week or more, he's looking to be a really good player. Orthotics are great help in preventing trouble and enhancing performance. Angie says, my daughter's 12 years old. She's playing a lot of volleyball, 3-4 days a week. She's had knee trouble, it seems, probably a good couple of years. You know, Angie, pay attention to the foot mechanics. See a good physical therapist again to see orthopedist. Make sure structurally to look at her knees. But if we see there's no tearing of ligaments, those kinds of injuries, and we're dealing with her knees always hurt, we pay big attention to the role of orthotics, proper shoes, and foot mechanics. Half the girls I see, I saw a lot of them in volleyball, lots of jumping, lots of pressure. Orthotics were great. They made a big difference. There's a real concern over ACL serious knee ligament injuries, much more girls to boys, probably 5-1. A lot of it's biomechanical. You can't go wrong. So look at that. Consult with her physical therapist. Make sure structurally. Seniors in walking shoes. You know, the people go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. They go to Sports Doctor Radio, Facebook. The article that I talk about, we've made a lot of, we just discussed it on the show. Run with it, the women in high heels, thought I'd mention it. Again, if you go to sportsdoctorradio.com, you go to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll see it down the list. Women in high heels accepting the challenge. This is something that, again, we're talking about. If you wear a lot of heels, you want to understand you're going to be putting a lot of pressure on the ball of the foot. Make sure the toe box is something that's comfortable and reasonable. Try to stay away from under 2 inches of heel height. Vary the heel height that you wear. Get a boxy kind of wedge heel that's stable. The stiletto is an ankle concern. Once you start raising the heels 1.5 inches and higher, you're changing your posture, especially 2 inches and higher. Back, knees, hips, feet, and ankles. So strengthening these areas is a great way to stay out of trouble. I can't tell you how many low back problems there are women are wearing heels. That's not news to you if you wear them. So if you're doing some core work, strengthening, if you're strengthening your feet and ankles, this really, really can help make a huge difference in tolerating heels. If you're dealing with 4-foot problems, ladies, corns and calluses, bunions, hammer toes, then you got to be careful about that toe box. You can't jam your feet into these pointy toe shoes. Even open toe can be smart. Limiting the amount of heels makes sense, some of these things. So the show's called Run With It. Check it out at Sports Doctor Radio. We'll see everybody next week. Thank you. It's the Sports Doctor live from Chicago.